something's crazy. And we're back. I have a show with Nolan, long lost Nolan Culver, next Tuesday at the Hollywood Improv, Tuesday, February 4th. Free tickets. Click the link in my bio to see me
and the, Judas.
And the infamous Nolan, last name Culver.
Traitor.
Click the fucking link for free fucking tickets. Man, kind of don't like the person I am on this podcast.
You know, it's so funny. We were talking like 5 minutes before this, and you were very mellow.
Yeah, I know.
Very, very laid back, and now you're just like,
"What's going on?
Fucking
here?
Bullshit."
It's a role I slip into, and I'm just not that guy anymore. I used to be tortured inside.
Yeah,
like for the first 2.5 years of this podcast, or however long it has been. But I've become a more peaceful person. But then when this mic starts going, I start dropping F-bombs, and I'm mean to you.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that way. I need some character arc
for
my podcast character.
Well, your arc has been you started severely depressed, alcoholic.
Yep.
And then you kept being that for a while, started getting into drugs a little bit. And then
drugs?
Well, weed.
Oh, yeah. I was always into weed.
Yeah. But then you did that, and then you
did some coke.
Did some coke. And you killed that hooker, and then you found God or something, and now you're more relaxed. You did go through a period where you were very angry, and it was because just the withdrawal from alcohol.
Yeah.
And I could tell you were going through the fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was newly sober, everything was bothering me, even like noises.
Yeah.
Like someone would tap their finger. I wouldn't be like, fuck, stop it, but in my head, be like, oh, fucking stop it. Cars, loud cars would drive by, it would infuriate me. I was just hypersensitive.
You're a sensitive little guy.
Sensitive little boy.
But yeah, no, that's your timeline, and it sucks because like right now, on the outside, it looks like you're at the end of the movie where all the bad shit's happened, and then like walking off into the sunset, head up high.
The end.
The end. But the problem is that we have a podcast and we have to do this every week. So it's like following a guy at his the end stage for years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what it's going to be like.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I was listening.
Which is a good thing.
I was listening to our episode where I was saying that that guy wasn't hot. What's his name? Actor.
Adam Driver. Well, that was just pure jealousy. That's all that was.
That was jealousy and joking around. But yeah. I didn't like my jokes. I was like, he's got moles all over his face. Then I thought, what if a kid is listening? Someone listening to this right now has a mole on their face, and what if they're feeling bad right now?
If Adam, I was just thinking this like when I left. I was like, if Adam Driver is like that's what an ugly man looks like to you. I don't even want to know what like a hot guy looks like.
I mean, I said it as a hyperbole. I was making a joke.
Yeah, but hyperbole can hurt.
Wow, that just impacted me. but I was like, God damn it. What if I'm hurting some feelings out there?
Yeah.
What's going on with me, dudes? Well, I know what's going on. I'm becoming a fucking more sensitive person. Whoa, easy, Rye. Easy, Rye.
Pump the brakes.
Be Ryan, not podcast Rye Dune, he says to himself.
On the podcast.
On the podcast. Uh-huh. I'm learning about attachment styles.
Yeah.
I listened to this audiobook. I'm going to mention this. With romantic relationships, I have anxious attachment style.
Yeah.
Which means I can easily get intimate and get close to somebody. But I worry that I'm fucking it up somehow. And I need some reinforcement every once in a while of my girlfriend to say, hey, I like you a lot. Everything's good.
Oh, wow.
And then I become a great person to be with. And I think I've realized that with friendships, I have avoidant attachment style. I'm not comfortable getting close with friends.
Only girlfriends.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But, like, I don't have a lot of close friends, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I'm not good with reaching out to friends saying, hey, miss you, man, let's get some lunch.
Yeah.
There's three different types of attachment styles, according to psychology.
Yeah.
It's confident, secure, anxious, and avoidant. I'm not secure. Most people are secure. Then, like, a certain percentage are anxious. Then the rest is avoidant. And according to the book I listened to, typically an anxious attachment style person is attracted to an avoidant style, like someone who's hard to get. So like an anxious person might obsess like, oh my God, like what's he thinking right now? What's she thinking right now? Does she like me? Oh man, she hasn't texted me in a while. Oh, now I'm thinking about it all the time.
Yeah.
Conclusion, I have anxious attachment when it comes to lovers, which is fine. And I think I have avoidant when it comes to friends. Makes me uncomfortable.
Just overall sound like you're not comfortable in your own skin as a human.
Yeah. Common trait amongst addicts. So I've learned in the program. It's a common saying.
Yeah.
I heard it this morning at a meeting. I was born, one woman said, I was born with no skin. That's like a saying like it was born with no protection from the world. I was never comfortable being me. But I'm pretty much uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Generally.
I know. But I think you balanced it out very well with comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's your way of purging it.
I guess so.
Purging your...
I'm more comfortable...
Purging your knots. Hey, you know, I was at the massage therapist the other day, and he was working on my back, and he was, wow, a lot of knots back here. And I went, yeah, it's like Knott's Berry Farm back there. Didn't laugh.
He didn't laugh.
No.
Yeah. Nice.
Brought it up to him a couple times.
Yeah, I'm more comfortable in a controlled environment like stand-up. When I'm doing stand-up, it's controlled. I'm the one talking. You shut the fuck up. Just kidding. The audience is listening. Those are the roles. I have a certain amount of time where I have to talk. The red light is going to go on with this many minutes left of my talking. The exits are there. The bar is over there. Here comes the waitress. That's normal. Everyone's just listening. I'm doing this joke, followed up by this joke, that joke. Something unexpected popped up, but that's fun for me. I can riff on that. Just as long as everybody just listens to me. And then when I get off stage, it's fucking chaos.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Like if I'm at a party, anything could happen.
Oh, wow.
Because I have no control. Yeah. Someone comes up to me. Hey, how have you been? It's like, oh, shit, what's their name? Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
I've been good. Oh, what do they do? Shit, I forget.
Yeah.
How have you been?
That's so funny because I would think that on stage for most people would be the complete opposite.
Yeah, it is.
It would be just like,
I think it is.
Holy fuck. Like this is, especially because you're set, you have really no control over how it's going to go.
Yeah.
Even if that audience is going to laugh, even if it's a foolproof set and you know people are like, that's like, oh, but people, laugh here. And that usually is what happens. But this is like each crowd is unpredictable. But at a party, yeah, I could see you.
Anything goes.
But I mean, like, really not. I mean, like, what's going to happen? You know what I mean? Like, nothing's going to happen at the party. That's like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
I went to a party this past Sunday night.
Yeah.
After parties for the Grammys.
Yeah.
My lady works in the music industry. So we went to a work party of hers. Big ass party. The second biggest after party for the Grammys with, like, I don't know any rock stars. There's not, like, epic, huge. Like, Aerosmith wasn't there, but some other people there. Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes. I knew who she was, and that's it. Except for another non-rock star. But a rock star in the sense that he's a badass, and he's famous as fuck. Conor McGregor.
Ooh.
He was at the party.
Oh.
And everyone was like, oh, my God, Conor McGregor's here. And I was envious of their excitement because I don't really care. I don't know a lot about him. I just know he's a fighter. Is it MMA?
UFC, yeah.
UFC, okay. Everyone was like, he's a boxer. And I was like,
He just boxed Mayweather once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And I found myself correcting somebody I didn't know very well. I was like, I think it's MMA. And I was like, oh, should I have not said that?
Lost the control.
I lost control.
Was his arrival a scene?
It wasn't a scene, but it was intense. I saw him arrive. I was already inside. And then I see these big dudes pointing somewhere. It was to the bar, like... Walking really quickly, pointing to the bar, I see in the middle of them is Conor McGregor. He's walking very fast to the bar, like jumping around people kind of.
Yeah.
Big personality. I went to the bar, like walked by me a little bit, and I was like, whoa, that's Conor McGregor. I recognized him. I know what he looks like and stuff. And that was what it was. So I was like, all right, cool. That was Conor McGregor. Cut to 3 hours later. I am... outside the women's room. I was waiting for my girlfriend to get out of the bathroom. And I noticed Conor McGregor goes into the men's room with one of his bodyguards. Then my girlfriend comes out of the bathroom. I didn't have to go to the bathroom. I didn't have to urinate, but I was like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I went into the bathroom. Said bathroom a lot. went into the men's room to fake pee. Went into a stall. On my way into the stall, I see where Conor McGregor is. He's in the bigger stall. His bodyguard is outside that door, that stall door, just making sure no one goes in there. I'm in my stall fake peeing. Then I hear that Conor has left his stall and he's washing his hands, I assume.
Yeah.
Then I hear some drunk dude, some drunk kid, just be like, "You're a legend, man. You're a legend," to Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor says some quote about legends. And then McGregor says, "You know who said that?" And the kid was like, "I don't know." Then McGregor said, "Kobe Bryant." Then the kid was like, "Oh, man, don't talk about that." Then McGregor was like, then I come out of the stall, washing my hands, just soaking in this, what's happening. McGregor starts to say, like, Why shouldn't I say that? Something to the degree of that. And the kid was like, "It's too depressing, man." Then he was like, "Why the fuck is that depressing?" Then the bodyguard starts to be like, "All right, easy, easy," to the kid. The kid's wasted. Then McGregor's getting a little fired up. The bodyguard kind of like guides the drunk kid into the stall that Conor was just in. He was like, "Go in there. Just go in there. Go in there. Stay there."
What?
He was just separating the drunk guy from McGregor.
Yeah.
And I could tell McGregor was getting a little bit heated. So the kid is in the stall. The bodyguard is then talking to McGregor, just like, "Forget about him. Forget about him." McGregor's like, "What the fuck was that all about? Why is that fucking depressing? Forget about him. Forget about him." McGregor's fired up. They leave. Pretty much the end of the story.
Huh.
I come out of the bathroom. My girlfriend's there with some of her friends. They're like, "What just happened?" And I was like, McGregor was just in there. Like, "Yeah, we heard." And apparently his bodyguards took him out of the bathroom straight, left into the kitchen area, and then he was gone.
Mm.
That's my McGregor story. Almost saw him knock somebody out.
Oh, damn. It'd have to be an old man for him to do it.
Yeah, right? He did that. He punched an old guy. Old dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was.
What was that for anyways, punching the old guy?
Because he turned down a shot of his whiskey. His whatever the McGregor brand whiskey is, he offered this old dude at the bar in Ireland a shot, and the guy turned it down. And then he kept offering, and then eventually the guy was like, "I don't want any of your shitty whiskey."
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he assaults the elderly. That's good. I didn't know that.
Yeah, McGregor quoted Kobe Bryant, who died that morning, the morning of, which was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Where were you when you found out?
I just woke up. I had woken. I think it was like 10. I just woke up and first thing I was group chat with a lot of people and they said that he died and I was like, huh?
Yeah.
But it was more shocking than anything else. Like, because he's such a huge name.
Yeah.
It's so out of nowhere.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like
he's 41.
Yeah. And then you start being like. And then I go into the news thing. It's like he's on a helicopter. And then I was like, oh, God damn it. And then the report came out that all of his kids were on it. All of his kids.
Hmm.
I was like, there's just no way that's possible. Like, there's just, that's too tragic for that to be real. And then came out that his daughter was on. And at that point, I actually cried. Just the idea that a father died with his daughter, and then you look up all the clips of him, because I don't really know much about Kobe Bryant. I mean, like, I'm not really big into basketball or sports in general, so I just know him as this giant name. And then I kind of start looking up more stuff about him after he died, and then all the stuff with his daughter, he's just like talking her up, and like so you can tell he's super proud of his daughter. And it, I don't know, I just like the more I kept watching, the more intense and sad it became, you know.
Yeah.
So that's.
I was out to brunch with my lady.
Yeah.
And I just checked Twitter real quick, and it was trending, and I was like, "What? Come on!"
Yeah.
And at first, I didn't believe it. It was like,
you thought it was a hoax.
Yeah, or just sometimes random shit will trend on Twitter,
sure,
just because people start, you know, tweeting about it.
Yeah.
So I was like, "This? What? This is no. This didn't really happen." Yeah. And I got back to the table. told my girlfriend. She was like, what? She was like, let me see. And then she looked on other news sources, like actual news channels. She was like, yeah, it says he died in a helicopter accident. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's just like so insane.
Yeah.
It's so insane.
9 people died in total, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
And what was it? What was it? It was because the helicopter was... It's fog. It was weather conditions, right?
I haven't read an official reason why it went down.
He did a turn around this mountain that he got commanded to do so, the pilot.
Yeah.
And I guess he just misjudged it with the fog by like 20 or 30 feet.
Christ.
That the fog kind of covered up how high the mountain was. Did you hear what came out today?
No.
With, it's no news about that, but it's just Kobe and his wife Vanessa had a pact that they would never fly on a helicopter together.
I read
in
that.
In case it ever crashed.
Right.
So then their kids would still have at least one of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, people were comparing it to, like, JFK. Like, we hadn't had a big death like that. I mean, Michael Jackson, but he had so much controversy behind him.
Sure.
That there wasn't the as much of the shedding tears. Mm-hmm. It was a fascinating story, you know? But this was the first one in at least my lifetime that the entire world was mourning.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just fucking... It's just terrible. Just... How do we, pick up this comedy podcast from here? Jesus Christ. I mean, fuck.
Well, that's a weird...
You know what I mean? Like we can't... Why? What do we do? Like, we can't... How do we...
The Grammys? Did you watch them?
You want to transition? You want to just smoothly transition?
I think it just takes... With the Kobe thing, obviously we're all still processing it, and it'll just take time. There is no conclusion on this podcast for it.
Yeah.
The Grammys happened.
Yeah. I don't care about the Grammys.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Music. I love music journalism. I just don't care about like the awards. No, I care about the artists. I just don't care about the awards. And a lot of the artists that were there, like, what didn't like Billie Eilish win like 30 awards or something?
I don't think 30, but she like swept
the whole thing.
Maybe not swept, but she got a lot of awards.
Yeah.
Lizzo only got one, and it was something to do with best urban something. Which
best urban? What the hell? What does that mean?
Like, the category had the word urban in it. Like, best urban single.
What?
When she's really just a pop star.
Yeah, that's
but
weird.
But I guess a lot of black artists get
that's a weird category.
Yeah.
Best urban single.
My girlfriend told me that Frank Ocean hates the Grammys. He's outspoken because a lot of black artists will just be like in an urban category just because they're black, even if they're a pop star. Like,
whoa, that's weird.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the Oscars had that best urban film? Yeah, that'd be fucking weird. People be up in arms about that. I didn't even know that. Jesus.
By the way, she won 5.
Lizzo did.
5. Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish. Okay.
Nominated for 6.
Damn.
Oh, damn. She really swept it. Well, what? All for that album last year?
Yeah, Bad Guy won 2 songs. The album won 2.
What are the Grammys based off of? Are they based off of pure commercial sales, or are they based off of, like, what was the best album?
No idea.
Because the Oscars, I imagine, are more about, like, critical. I mean, it's becoming a little bit more lenient because of, like, movies that have gotten Best Picture noms, like, as of the last few years, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, they're usually, like, this is based solely on the critical aspect.
Well, they claim it's a critical, but that's where everyone knows. It has a lot of controversy because everyone knows they do judge a lot of weight into sales, too.
Yeah. Because Billie Eilish's album, what was that, the biggest album? I'm not saying it wasn't good. I'm just saying that was the biggest album of the last year, I'm pretty sure. So it's like...
And I think there's also a process of applying, like, Lizzo's management and reps have to apply for the Grammys and shit and submit, and some artists don't do that. I'm talking out of my ass. This is just what I would think happens.
Yeah.
Billie Eilish, good for her. Her brother is writes a lot of the songs. Phineas is his name.
I met him once.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, at a New Year's party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I have never seen him before, so I didn't know who he was. I was just like, hey,
could you shut the fuck up?
No, we were talking. I was talking with my friend.
You make me a drink.
I was talking with my friend Mike, and he was talking to them, and I just assumed he was I mean, they are friends, those two guys. And so they're just talking, and then Mike takes a photo with them. He asked me to take a photo of them all three, and then I go, sure. And then he goes, oh, can you do that again? I don't want to look like a fan. I was like, ha, what? He's like, oh, just like the persona of a fan? He's like, no, like a fan, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like a Phineas. And then he was like, that's Phineas. I said, who's Phineas? And he was like, it's Billy Eilish's brother. And I was like, oh, the guy that writes all of her songs? He's like, yeah. It's like, oh. I'm not going to talk to you for the rest of the night, Mike. I'm just going to try and talk to Phineas.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course.
You know, you go straight for the guy with the most clout, you know?
Yeah, that's Hollywood.
That's Hollywood, baby. That's what I said to him as I left him. That's Hollywood, baby.
Yeah, I've been checking out Phineas's music. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize how young he was. He's only 22.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought he was like 28.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I thought it was like 25. Wow. 22 and what? How old is Billy?
She's 12.
I think she just turned 18.
Yeah, she
Jesus, man. Those, God,
and
damn.
They're from Highland Park, California, I think.
Yeah. Billie Eilish came out of nowhere, by the way, in my opinion. Right? Wasn't that just last year that started?
Seems like it.
Like, I mean, granted, I wasn't tracking her career.
Right.
So to me, it was just like I start seeing, oh, who's Billie Eilish, all over the radio, but it just was so quick. And then everybody was like, Billie Eilish. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck's going on? Like, it's so...
Since... My gal works in the music industry. I have found out that a lot of popular artists these days are rich kids because music is so hard to make it in the industry that you need monetary help.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of just like kind of like trust fund babies who are rock stars now, which I feel wouldn't that damage the art? Like these people might not have as enriching life stories as like someone... Yeah. Who's struggling for their art.
Yeah, totally.
So I think, I don't know, it's kind of sad.
There's
it's
a guy.
It's too bad.
There's a, you know, Bukowski, that author.
Yeah.
He said that the problem with his thing was writing books and poems and shit. And he was like, the problem with a lot of young writers is that they become successful very quickly. And then their whole life is success and cocktail parties. And they don't get a glimpse of the manure pile. The manure pile, that's what he called it. And it's true. It's like what you said. They're not going to know, like, what that, I guess, perseverance.
Right.
Well, I guess they kind of do because they still have to, like,
they work.
They have to work hard. But,
yeah,
like,
that
hard. Shit and piss that you have to kind of go through.
Right.
To have something, and I don't want to say interesting perspective, but an interesting perspective on things and a more grounded perspective on things.
And relatable perspective.
Yeah.
Well, just like Billie Eilish and her brother, they were like raised for this. They were homeschooled their whole life.
Yeah.
And their parents focused on teaching them songwriting. So it's like at a young age, they were pretty much groomed that you're just going to focus entirely on music.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I have no idea if they're rich or not. But that's what I was told. Like a lot of rock stars these days are rich kids. And a lot of the art world, painting world.
Yeah.
A lot of rich kids too.
Well, yeah. I mean, how are you going to make a...
Right.
Make a career off of painting if you're not already rich.
That's what I like about stand-up. It's not rich kids, at least yet. Nobody wants to be a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like music might just keep getting shittier. Or like the artist's perspective might not be as wide and relatable.
Well, if you're a pop star, you're going for the widest appeal. And if you're going for the widest appeal, you can't be singing about like, you know, how you lived in a dumpster or whatever for you know what I mean, like it's I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, that's weird. I would rather listen to somebody talk about relationships and happiness, you know, shit that's very wide has a wide appeal to it.
Dave Chappelle won best comedy album,
something,
I don't know if that was the name of it, but Dave Chappelle's Sticks and Stones, which was critically hated, won best, won a fucking Grammy. That was a big win for comedy. And the other nominees, those aren't the best comedians. Ellen was nominated for her special. Trevor Noah, Jim Gaffigan, I stand by him, he's a great comedian. But it's just like, here's household names who do not have the best special, and also Dave Chappelle and Jim Gaffigan, who are great comedians.
Yeah,
I think Trevor Noah is a great comedian. I saw him the Comedy Cellar in like 2012. He was really good.
Mm.
But yeah, Dave Chappelle, media hated it. It was like, this is offensive. Then he won a fucking Grammy. So fuck you, world.
Mm. Yeah, man, you tell him. You tell
got him.
I have a kind of a weird story about I live in an apartment complex for about 2 years, or have been. I don't really know anybody there. And I, one day, pull into my parking spot. The guy who's constantly next to me every day, his blue car, I always just kind of wave to him, and that's it. And then, so this day, I pull in, and then he's getting out of his car, and he goes, ah, hey, how you doing? He's like, good. How are the holidays for you? And I went, good. He's like, anything happen? I went, no, just good.
Wow, you're great to talk to.
No, I like legit. I was like, that's the truth. I was like,
good.
Well,
when was this too?
This must have been two or 3 weeks ago.
Okay, so it was right after. Yeah. I thought it was recent. It was like a little late for holiday.
No, this was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. So he goes, good. And I go, good. And he goes, nothing really interesting. I'm like, nah, I just kind of went to visit family and, you know, it's good. It's good. And then he was like, oh, well, you know, mine was pretty fucking weird. I went, oh, okay. And then he was like, yeah, I found out that I have a son that I didn't know about for 25 years.
Oh.
I went, what? He went, yeah, just apparently I got a letter in the mail. It was from my son and saying that he hates me and that he found out through like 23andMe that I was his father. I said, huh? And he was like, yeah. This is how he was talking too.
Meanwhile,
like, yeah.
You're holding groceries. You're trying to get
I legitimately am holding groceries. I'm holding groceries, and he's like, "Yeah," and he goes, "Yeah," and it's just weird. He's like, "Found out he hates me," and but he's had a rough childhood, you know. Like apparently, his mom, my ex, after she left me, after she had him, she got with this guy, and the two of them started robbing banks together.
Whoa!
And he was growing up in that environment. And I said, "Oh, my hands now are starting to really hurt because I'm shortening the story, but it's been about 10 minutes of this story." And I'm like, "Oh, cool," or I'm like, "No, I'm going. Oh, damn, damn, wow." Like I am actually interested, but it's just like it's just so much. And then he goes, "Yeah, this is a hard story, but you know, like, you know, I don't have a good family life. You know, a lot of my family are alcoholics. You know." So many of them are alcoholics, actually, that my dad, he has a pattern of other relatives in my family have called him right before they kill themselves.
Oh.
Some of them even kill themselves while they're on the phone with my dad.
Jesus.
And I went, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, they'll be talking to him saying, this is your fault, whatever. And then they'll shoot and they'll hear a gunshot and they'll blow their head off. And I go, how many times has this happened? He was, three times. I go, ah. He goes, yeah, well, what are you going to do? I go, okay, well.
Nice talk.
I was like, ah, well. I literally said this. But at this point, like I said, I'm shortening the story. But at this point, this has been 20 minutes of me standing with groceries in my hand. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go upstairs now. And then I shut the door and went. Is that guy about to drive his car off a bridge? You know what I mean? Like, is he about to do that? Because, yeah. like he just his entire life story, he told me. And all I said was, I was like, all I said to start it was, I'm good. Holidays were good. And that was one case where he kept going. He didn't.
Yeah.
He just kept going. And he wasn't an asshole. He was really nice, but it was like he just kept going. And I just thought, kept thinking, like, damn, I feel like I know more about you than most people.
Mm. Sounds like that dude just needed somebody to talk to.
Yeah, he did.
Anybody.
Have
anybody.
You seen him since?
Yeah, I have.
In your building?
I have. And he actually works. He's one of the guys that works at the apartment. He's like a maintenance guy.
Okay.
And I thought he was just somebody that lived in one of the apartments. But he was working. I woke up one day and I hear like some noise in my hallway and I go, someone's breaking into my house and stealing my stuff right now. And I open it like ready to fucking do something. And then it's him in a ladder and the manager of my apartment, the landlord of my apartment, he goes, hey, Brandon. That's the landlord. That's his voice. Literally his voice. Hey, Brandon. He's like 80 years old. And he goes, we're just fixing your heating system, whatever. And I was like, oh, hi. And it was him. Uh-huh. He was on the ladder, the guy that I was talking to. And then, and then he just left. And then I just felt like, damn, I don't know. There's no payoff to the story other than a man told me his life story was fascinating.
Yeah.
It was fat. When he told me the part about his dad and how people keep killing themselves on the phone, I was like, nuts. Dude, I wouldn't tell that within the first like five therapy sessions that I had with a therapist. You told me that like off the bat. I don't know.
That's heavy.
Yeah, I know. It's like, and he's a really nice guy. And that's the thing. That's why I didn't want to say it on the podcast. I'm afraid he's going to hear it or something.
Nah.
I don't know.
Now, do you think this invited longer conversations with him? Like every time you see him now?
Well, I don't know what else we could talk about. I mean, he kind of told me everything, you know, like, I don't have like a interesting story like that.
Maybe he kind of looks at you as a son. Not that he's not a son figure, but maybe you remind him of his son.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just wanted to speak to somebody.
You should get him
age.
As a guest.
Yeah, I probably should, honestly.
Sounds great.
Because I already basically summed up his whole story.
Yeah.
But he'd be telling you guys it.
Damn.
But, yeah. And then it just got me, thinking about how, you'll never really know what's going on with somebody. Because I was parked next to him, and I've seen him before. Parked next to him every day for 2 years.
Well, it was nice of you to hold space for him, as they say in the therapy world. You didn't try to solve his problem. You didn't give him any advice. You were just there to listen. Mm. And you were like, damn, which validates the crazy story.
Yeah.
If you were just like, oh, well, he would have been like, well, wait, no. He might be a lonely guy.
Maybe.
Just want someone to talk to.
Maybe.
Quick story before we go. I was shooting a video yesterday in my house. My cat Ralph comes casually walking down the steps. I just see her out of the corner of my eye. I was like, oh, yeah, here comes Ralph just strolling along. Then Ralph gets near my feet, starts walking into my bedroom. I look down, just be like, hey, Ralph. I notice she's got a full-grown dove in her mouth. Big bird.
Yeah.
In her mouth.
Holy fuck.
I was just like, hey, Ralph, holy shit. And yeah, fucking, it was disturbing seeing this dove, like its wing sticking out in my cat's mouth. Then Ralph, like, put it down for a second. And it flew out of the door was open. So it flew out of the door and got free. But Ralph was just zen, just inner zone in the
outdoor
fucking,
cat. Yeah. I imagine
in the zone, just like feeling good.
Yeah. That's what she's supposed to do.
Yeah.
She's supposed to kill things.
So I was like, good job, Ralph. She was 100% about to bring it into my bedroom. And just torture it.
Totally.
Slowly torture it, kill it, and then just leave it there.
Not even to eat it.
No.
Just to kill.
Just to fucking...
Yeah, cats are one of the only animals that kill for pleasure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What about dogs? Dogs kill for pleasure. They'll kill, like, something.
I guess occasionally, but cats on, like, a large scale. They're actually the most murderous. Like, more animals have been murdered by cats in the world than any other.
Yeah, I can see that.
There's, like, this famous story of this farm full of goats. This guy had this old herd of goats. Mm-hmm. It was, like, 20 of them, and he had a security camera. One day, they were all dead. And he walked out and looked at the security camera, and this mountain lion jumped, slaughtered all 20, and then just hopped over the fence and left.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Ralph.
So you're living with a killer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. She's brought in, when I was in Boston, she brought in a bird once. And I was just like, Ralph, put it down. Ralph jumped on the couch. All of a sudden, the bird stopped struggling, plopped down. Ralph just punctured its chest with her teeth.
Oh, wow.
Dead. Ralph also catches a lot of lizards out here in L.A. But this is the first time I've seen a full-grown bird. A big bird.
Still alive, too.
Still alive. Big bird.
Mm-hmm.
And Ralph is a fat piece of shit.
Yeah.
So she, good job. Good
and
on
she,
her.
Big dove. Ralph has tiny, tiny little mouth, tiny little teeth.
Yeah.
How is she able to hold?
It was like around the dove's neck.
Oh, wow.
And a wing was like sticking out.
Jesus.
It was disturbing.
There's a dove, too. Doves are like, that's like a religious...
Yeah.
Bird.
It was like a gray dove. I thought it was a pigeon at first.
Yeah.
But,
has Ralph ever killed mice and brought them to you?
Yeah, moles back in Boston. Mouse-looking things. But, yeah, she loves birds. Loves lizards.
Loves murder.
Loves to murder
things. Seems more just like she loves murder.
She just can't help it.
I guess, man. It's in her DNA.
She sees something jump in the corner of her eye, and she's focused.
What are those lions called in the Amazon? There's a certain class of predator that they're known as. They're known as the highest level of predator is a lion. Just like in the ocean, highest level of predator is a shark. But there's a title for it.
Apex predator?
Apex predator. That's it. An apex predator. The highest level of predator. So she is a descendant of an apex predator. So she's probably like, well, you know, I got to flaunt my stuff. And to do that, I gotta murder some doves.
Yeah.
I got to murder something.
And my housemate, Terry, was like, Ralph, no. Bad. Yeah. And I was like, no, good, Ralph. Good job.
Ralph, no.
You're fulfilling your destiny. Yeah. Good job.
She's probably head over heels, Ralph.
Ralph is so calm.
Yeah.
That does it.
That's about it.
That's about it.
What is an apex? This is for my own personal thing. What? Remind me again what an apex predator does, because I'm pretty sure it's like, it's the ecosystem. They're in charge of like keeping the ecosystem in check.
Yeah, I think they're just like the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
Like nothing.
No predators.
And besides humans, because we kill everything, the biggest apex predator in the world is the killer whale.
Oh, wow. They'll kill anything?
Yeah. They're the deadliest predator. Nothing can kill them in the ocean.
Wow.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah.
Wait, dolphins? Why would we be the
herd of
apex
dolphins?
Predator then? Anything can kill us.
Because we choose to just like use machines.
Yeah, like humans aren't really considered the apex. We are the apex predator because we kill everything, but everything can't kill us.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we're not really considered in the... And then tiger is the land animal, actually.
A lion is an apex predator, right?
Yeah, but for some reason, tigers are top of the food chain and have no natural predators.
Oh, wow.
I guess lions aren't number one because they hunt in packs. And the tiger hunts solo. Okay.
Got it.
So they do all their killing solo.
Mm. Interesting. Well, kind of like me on the stage.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap it up. All right.
That's it,
I guess. I'm sorry,
what,
Dad.
What a great way to... There's such abrupt endings now.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.